Giles Brown here, live with Let's Talk from the Sunborn Gibraltar. Now, you may remember a little earlier on in the year, I did a radio interview with Gavin Essler about a book called Brexit Without the Bullshit. I won't say it. I could hear Hannah Murray in the breakfast show having a sharp intake of breath when I said the S-H-I bullshot, we'll call it this one, Gavin. Delighted to be joining me live on the Sunborn, author of Brexit Without the Bullshot. Gavin Essler, good morning to you, Gavin.
Good morning. Well, I actually, when you were saying that, it struck me that one of my daughters said to me that she thought it was inappropriate to have a swear word on the cover. And I said, well, BS isn't a very nice word, but don't say it at school, but it's okay. And she said, no, I didn't mean that swear word. I meant Brexit. I blame her mother.
And, I do a current affairs program every Tuesday, and we sort of have a clock to see how long we can get through before that word is mentioned. The swear word, and it's milliseconds basically.
Well, get used to it because it depends what happens in the British general election. But essentially, there's two choices. One is we will have a Conservative majority government, or we'll have a hung parliament. And if we have a Conservative majority government, I can predict we will be using the B word for at least 5 years because one of the problems with the Prime Minister's slogan "Get Brexit Done" is Brexit has not yet been agreed, and it won't start until we leave. And to get something done demands actually figuring out what you're trying to do, which is still not actually been done.
Well, yesterday I think we went from an oven-ready Brexit or a microwave Brexit to a blue piece of Brexit, I believe. Sticky-back plastic may be involved.
Well, actually, you've just touched on the key point. What we have is a salesman as a prime minister who is very good at making up the slogans. And, it just struck me, looking back over 2 years, we had Norway Plus and Canada Plus. And if I tried to sell you an Austin Allegro Plus, you wouldn't think it was a Porsche. But these are salesman pitches without any substance. And it's not just that, you know, he said it would be oven ready for the microwave and then they put it on gas mark 5 or whatever it is, without figuring out that's not how microwaves work. It's just that it's a barrage of sales talk still. Whereas the facts, I mean, what I tried to do in Brexit Without BS was look at what are the facts about Brexit, what will it actually look like. And one of the great perils of British public life now is actually trying to tell the truth and getting to the facts. And just, for example, the government's own report on this, the Yellowhammer report, which the Sunday Times got a hold of in September, the government rubbished their own report and said it was out of date, and it was produced in August. So there is a massive credibility problem about any of these promises. I talked to Tony Blair about it recently, and also John Bruton, the former Irish Prime Minister, and I said, do you actually believe our Prime Minister when he says things? And the short answer is no.
But you can go back to that, and we could have a discussion probably about for most of the rest of the day about we are now living in the age of the politic of the soundbite, the politic of the social media post, and real policy takes a long time. And when you sat down to write this book, Brexit Without the BS, surely things have changed even literally on a daily basis.
Not at all. The really surprising thing is what has happened is it's sort of like being in the jungle and the monkeys are changing, but the trees remain the same. So what is happening is that the monkeys, in terms of the politicians, are trying to sell us another, you know, clean Brexit is one of the latest, which is just total nonsense, really. That has changed. But actually, the facts of what it would look like if we leave the European Union, the facts about whether you'll need a different driving permit to drive in Spain, for example, or the facts about 95% of vets in our slaughterhouses in the UK are EU 27 nationals. They're not British because it's not a very glamorous job, and they may go home, or 10% of nurses may decide to go home, or the fact that already our great universities, which have got a wonderful reputation worldwide and are part of our soft power, are seeing students from the EU 27 and elsewhere not applying because of doubts about what their status will be in 2 or 3 years' time if you have a three-year course. So the facts haven't changed. It's just the political banter has changed, and it's just, you know, one degree more ludicrous, frankly, than it was 6 months ago.
And you're here in Gibraltar as part of a literary festival talking about your book. Gibraltar itself is an interesting, as has always been an interesting case, but even more so with the Brexit. Have you had been here long enough to sort of get a feel for what is how that's going to affect Gibraltar?
Well, just a little bit. I mean, I'm Scottish, and I also grew up partly in Northern Ireland, so I have a view about the essentially what we are seeing is Gibraltar voting 96% to remain because people are very concerned, and I know that many British people living, for instance, in the south of Spain, are very worried about healthcare and other things, and they're right to be. One of the problems it strikes me is that we are seeing a nationalist upsurge in Scotland, a nationalist upsurge in Northern Ireland, and I've always thought that the United Kingdom can survive Scottish nationalism, Irish nationalism, and Welsh nationalism, but can it survive English nationalism? And that's how things are seen from Glasgow or from Belfast, and I suspect the same is true in Gibraltar, where there are obviously other sensitivities, because of political questions about Spain itself. So it's going to be a very, very difficult period, and it won't be over if we cannot get Brexit done, as the slogan says, in the way in which the Prime Minister says. It's just not possible.
But the problem, you could argue, is the fact that Brexit means so many different things to so many different people. There is no one division. There is no, you cannot say that is a Brexit, because it's amorphous. It's changing seemingly by the day.
You're exactly right. And I talk a lot to business people, and I often say to them, if you were going to do the most important thing your business has ever done, would you say we're going to do it in 2 years' time, or would you first figure out what on earth it is? And we still have not figured out what on earth it is. And we've got a Prime Minister now who says we will not extend beyond the end of 2020. Now, frankly, I don't believe him. And not only do I not believe him, a lot of people within his own party don't believe him. And that credibility problem, the fact that he has a reputation for not telling the truth on even quite petty matters, but he's been fired for it, is a really profound problem for our country and for the credibility of our negotiators.
And when you sat down to write this book, you spoke to a variety of figures in political life, because of obviously you work with Newsnight over the years. Did you find a consensus of opinion, or are we all standing on the sidelines just watching on, with like a bad car crash, unable to take our eyes away? Or how was the reaction from the people you spoke
to? Well, I think there is no consensus, although people have changed their minds. Some people have changed their minds. And, we've seen Nigel Farage, who quite honourably says that the reason what he really fears is a second referendum. Of course he does, because he knows that the Brexit side will lose. And the only way, really, to stop Brexit is to stop doing Brexit. And I think that's where we are. We're very divided. People want to stop talking about it, but we will not stop talking about it if we actually do it, because then we have to negotiate all these very, very difficult trade treaties and deals with the Europeans and also the United States. And the idea we can do this rapidly, of course, is just not true. I mean, I don't think the EU's ever negotiated a trade deal that's taken less than 3 years. And the United States, where I lived for many years, a trade deal is a treaty which has to be ratified by the Senate. Mm. Now, that, whatever Donald Trump may say, he possibly will not be president by the time any trade deal comes up for ratification.
But, people will say, oh, we'll just go to WTO rules, we'll just...
Well, the WTO is in a complete mess because the Americans are essentially not allowing it to fill positions and spend money. So, WTO rules is just another one of those Canada plus Norway plus GATT24 nonsensical slogans that people put out, but without actually thinking of the facts. And in the end, the facts matter.
In your book also, you look at, because behind this whole thing about taking back control, redefining our borders, sovereignty, we won't be a vassal state, etc., etc., these are very highfalutin ideas about what it means to be British in the European Union. But you looked at what the effect this is going to have on the poorest sections of society in the UK as well.
Well, I don't think it's a patriotic thing to vote to make our country poorer. And that's what we've done. And that's where we're going. And we are, if you're British living in Spain on a fixed income, you will know that your pounds are not buying as much as they used to, because the pound has gone down against the euro. And every single projection about how the economy will do suggest that any version of Brexit will make us less wealthy as a nation than we otherwise would have been. So therefore, since the NHS, for example, takes a very large slice of our tax money, if the tax money goes down because we're all poorer, then it will take a large slice of less. And that's true of everything that we want to spend money on, unfortunately.
And we're heading into a general election. It seems to be... The people are saying, oh, we have to look at other issues, including climate change, but the main issue is going to be about Brexit here. I think we could agree on that. Can you see Jeremy Corbyn forming a Labour government? Do you think Boris Johnson is going to get in? Do you think now that Farage has stepped back and may have formed some sort of kind of pact with the Conservatives, perhaps? Do you think that the pro-Brexit or the pro-Remain parties are too divided to put up any sort of opposition?
Well, there's two things. One is you're right. You know, climate change and other things will play a part, and that just points up. As well as the economy and migration and terrorism and crime, all these things that we care about, they're actually international issues. They demand a degree of international cooperation. Britain cannot solve climate change on its own. So cutting yourself off from friends and neighbours, in a way, isn't going to work. And secondly, in terms of the election result, it seems to me there's only two possibilities. One is a majority Conservative government, which will... pursue some kind of Brexit and take years. So you will be giving a mandate to a prime minister whose international credibility is very low because people don't trust him. The alternative, I think, is a hung parliament. I just can't see that Jeremy Corbyn can win a majority. And if it's a hung parliament, we will get a people's vote. We'll get a second referendum. We'll get a referendum on something which is a kind of Brexit or Remain. And we'll get other things too. But whatever happens, the stresses and strains mean that the United Kingdom itself may not exist as it exists now in 5 to 10 years, because I spend a lot of time in Scotland, and I have to say Scottish unionists are very, very depressed at the way in which Scotland has been treated.
And I was following a tweet last night, which I shouldn't really be doing that time of the evening, but somebody made the point that Nicola Sturgeon is perhaps showing more political savvy at the moment than the rest of the English leaders put together.
Well, we can debate about nationalism and Scottish nationalism, and you could make the case that if you see how difficult it is to leave the European Union, Scotland leaving the United Kingdom might be very difficult. But what I do know from talking to many people in Scotland, politicians and others, is that they look at the way in which Ireland, a country of 5 million people, has been backed to the hilt by 450 million people of the European Union. And therefore, they see that as an encouragement to leaving potentially the United Kingdom. Now, I'm not saying it should happen, I'm not saying it will happen, but I think the stresses and strains are there. And Nicola Sturgeon has been actually one of the leaders who's been very clear about what she wants. Now, whether we like it or not, but she is absolutely clear about it.
What are you actually doing? Are you lecturing today? You're talking today about your book? When can people catch you here live on the Rock?
Yes, 2 o'clock today. I think it's sold out, but maybe a few tickets. I'll be talking about the book and then signing some copies of the book, which is going very well. We've done our second printing. We're thinking about a third printing. What's interesting, apart from correcting one or two typos, is to go back to your earlier question. Nothing has changed. Nothing at all.
I'm just wondering if future plans include perhaps an edition next year, Brexit with the BS. What do you think?
I think that, let me put it this way, if we do get a Conservative government which goes ahead with some form of Brexit, I'm afraid I will be able to add a few chapters, because the saga will continue. It will go on like a soap opera, I think. Yeah, unfortunately.
Absolutely. If people want to find out more about you or about the book itself, I follow you on Twitter, so I know you're active on the social media. Where can they find you, Gavin?
Well, I'm on at Gavin Essler on Twitter. Also, the book is available at all good bookshops, possibly a few not so good bookshops.
And a download from the TRE bookshop as well.
You can download it as well, and it's also available on Amazon and so on.
Gavin, enjoy your time in Gibraltar.
It's great.
It's not a bad day. There are worse places to be, aren't there?
I think having left London at 4 degrees in rain, I'm quite happy to be here.
Well, if things go on, we may be trapped in here, and Spain may close the border, so you
that
never
would be
know.
So sad. I wouldn't mind it for a week or two.
Gavin Ursula, author of Brexit Without the I'll Say It Bullshit. Thank you so much for your time today.